teach me?
Half of us learn stand, then learn fly. Yeah. Nature ruled on your son, not the mine.
I know what you're trying to do.
I'm trying to free your mind, Neo. But I can only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through it.
What is the most inspiring thing I ever said to you?
Don't be an idiot. Changed my life.
Today, we have a special format episode. Joining us is Grant Adams, an emerging talent in cybersecurity field, who is here for a live stream mentoring session. Hello, Grant.
Hello, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome, Grant.
Thanks.
So, yeah, we're excited to have you. This is kind of where we talked about doing coaching sessions and mentor sessions, and we wanted to do this with Grant, who is awesome, and we'll talk about his story and how we know Grant. But just to give folks an idea of what this looks like, what we try to do, how we try to help people, and we're offering this up to people to help, you know, doing this for free, right? For now, at least. Depends on how much time we have available. But we do want to meet people and get to know you and find out how we can help you in your journey. So, Grant, welcome, Grant. So the way I first met Grant, he's one of the OG original SOC interns. We first started up the SOC at the university back in 2016. Actually was one of the ones that, you know, we had Carson on, and he said he's the one that actually found out about the SOC first. Right, Grant?
That's how I remember it. I remember I joined the cybersecurity club. I went to the first meeting, and then they kind of dropped this application link to the SOC. And I remember bringing it back Carson and nice. Our other roommate.
That sounds, actually, now that you say that, I think that sounds right. Oh. Carson's trying to take credit for everything.
Oh, man. Oh,
he's got Carson. Enough going for him. He doesn't need
I know.
He's doing great.
Yeah. Carson, these are fighting words, my friend. Fighting words.
But yeah, so we met through that experience. Grant was definitely awesome to work with, and help was a tremendous help during the SOC, and learned a ton, went on, graduated, and we'll go through his resume and his kind of where his career is. But then came back later to work full time in the SOC, and was there working for me and for us, and really did an awesome job there too. But yeah, that's kind of the background, a little bit of Grant, just to introduce you. But welcome. We're glad to have you.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks, Steve. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. So let's get into a little bit of your background, Grant. So tell us how you first became interested in cybersecurity.
Yeah, so I remember even back in high school, being kind of interested in websites like Hack the Box, or there were some other ones like that way back then. And so I worked through some of the challenges, but never got super far into it. I was just kind of curious. And then, in college, I was a computer science major and wasn't really digging the programming. It was fun, but I didn't think I wanted to do it forever. And then I thought, maybe I'll join the cybersecurity club, like we were just talking about. And I went to that first meeting. It was pretty cool. I heard about the SOC, and it was a paid internship doing security work. And I thought, that sounds awesome. Let's do that. So I applied. Yeah, me, Carson, Zach all applied, and there might have been some Googling, like he said. And we showed up with basically zero knowledge, but a lot of interest, at least for me, a lot of interest in it. And then it just kind of went from there. You know, you start getting experience and learning, and there's so much to learn. And it is a really exciting field, especially working in a university environment where there's so much going on, and you've got professors wanting to open up ports to the internet, and you've got students running projects and all kinds of employees getting phished and things. So there's a lot to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. John, I think you say this the best. It's like its own little village. I mean, you have students live there, they learn there, they work there. They go to the doctor there. So yeah, there's a little bit of everything in a university environment. So absolutely.
Yeah, I kind of call it a small city. You've got a police department, you've got a fire department, you've got people living on your network, right? It's not the normal corporation. Everybody works 8 to 5. Even if you're a global corporation, it's not exactly the same. It's a different beast, which makes it fun. It is fun. I really enjoy it. Having worked in corporate comparatively, I really enjoy it. So yeah, gives you good experience, right?
Oh yeah, totally, totally.
So Grant, tell us a little bit about your cybersecurity journey thus far. So you do have some experience. So, you're not coming in completely brand spanking new. So kind of walk us through maybe after your internship, kind of how things went and what kind of jobs did you have and just a little bit about that and kind of what led you here.
Yeah, sure. So I did the internship for about a year and a half before I graduated. And then after graduating, I got a general like IT kind of IT specialist job at a managed services provider and worked that for about 2 years. They hired me there because they knew I had some security experience. And so they were looking to increase their security. And most of the time I was working on like help desk things, but I did have a couple security projects there. So like I ran a phishing campaign using phishing bots against our employees and did some phishing education stuff. I also helped install and configure a privileged access management software for us. And just a couple other security projects there. And then after that, I went and worked for Clemson full-time for about half a year as a full-time security analyst. So, yeah, and then I decided I was kind of unhappy where I was living, or I needed to switch things up. I felt like I needed to go explore. And so I took some time off, moved out to the West Coast, and then I'm finally starting to feel like I'm settling down now and I'm ready to get back into it. And so it's a little weird now, I think, having that 2 year gap, and I'm trying to figure out, do I need to go back into an IT position and kind of work my way back up to cybersecurity, or what does the path look like for me now?
Yeah, that's really, I think there's a couple of things there as we're talking through this too, of how you will share this story with somebody. You know, if you're in an interview, this is the thing that you're going to share, and they're going to, obviously they're going to ask, hey, what happened here? What's going on with this gap between, but I think it, if you were interviewing with me, right, if I didn't know you, I think it's cool that you went and did this adventure, right? I mean, to me, it's like, cool. Like, hey, look, you're young. You're kind of feeling out what your path is. And I went and did these things. And I actually think it would be interesting for you to highlight some of those things. You know, hey, I went here, I grew up here and now I'm here. Right. Mm-hmm. And some of the things you did along your way. And then now you're to this point, like you said, of like, hey, I'm looking to kind of maybe tap back into this and what do I want to do? And helping you with that also, like, what should I go to IT? Should I go to security? But I think that's a really good way to share how you got to this point. Cause obviously that's probably one of the first things that they're going to ask you and we'll talk about this when we get to your resume. It may be, if somebody just gets your resume, it's hard to iterate that of like, hey, this is what I did. I don't have experience here, but that's going to stand out, right? So that's just something to talk about. But it's really more about networking, right? When you're talking to somebody and you get a hold of that person, you say, hey, I know there's a gap here, but let me just share a little bit like how I got to where I am, right? So I think that's really good. And then also, too, on the IT piece of it, you did IT, kind of first. You did security, you got lucky, you did security, you got to do it with us. And then you did IT, which is still really good because you got some of that base fundamental experience doing IT. So people that are interested in like, should I go IT first? It's not a bad route. And kind of trying to do a little bit of security. If you can't do as much security as you can, like you were able to do a little bit of projects there. I think that's ideal. It's not going to be for everybody. If you can get that opportunity, though, do IT with some slash, yes, hey, I'm hungry, I'm eager, I want to do security. Here's the skills I'm learning. Oh, hey, Grant knows some security stuff. Let me bring you in here and help us out with this thing, right? So I think that's an awesome opportunity. And then, of course, trying to lead that back into some other security job. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I completely agree. I think, do you mind sharing a little bit more about kind of what you've been doing for the last couple of years?
Not at all.
Because it's pretty cool. I mean, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I left my job at Clemson and then did a couple of road trips where I was just camping. I had a tent in my car and I was finding campsites each night. And then I went to a bunch of the national parks and basically drove cross country and got to see all kinds of beautiful natural places and visit a bunch of cities and just kind of see the country for myself, which was really awesome. and then, yeah, I ended up finding a website called Workaway and looked for like farms to live on out on the West Coast and found one. And I was supposed to be there for a month and I was going to kind of hop around to a bunch of different farms. Yeah. But I really liked the first one that I showed up on and made a lot of good friends there. They had goats and pigs and chickens and I learned to milk goats and and then started baking bread while I was there and got a job at the local bakery and was also working at a local plant nursery. And so I'm still working at the nursery and that's mostly what I've been doing out here.
Wow, that's awesome, man. I think there's a lot of people who would love to do that, just go across country and just kind of live a free spirit, you know, just kind of do your thing.
Yeah, I think it's been a great experience. I've learned a lot about myself and what I want and who I am. And I think it was important to do because if I had just stayed in my job, I think I would have been unhappy and I wouldn't have known why. And so I just had to do it, basically. And I think a lot of people should take that time to go kind of discover themselves, even if it maybe isn't practical.
Yeah, that's really good advice, especially folks that are coming out of the university, college. Hey, I need to get a job. I got to get a job. This is what I got to do. I'm like, well, maybe you don't. Maybe you know, you take that chance. You don't have a mortgage. You don't have a car payment. You don't have all these things. You're not have these tie downs. Go live it. You know. So no, I think it's kudos to you for doing that.
Yeah. And it helped. I had worked a couple years and saved up some money so I could kind of afford that. And it just felt right. You know, I felt like I needed to do it. And I think you should listen to that feeling.
Absolutely. Awesome. So now you are looking to get back into the game. You're looking to get back into cybersecurity. Mm. And you're here with us for, you know, a little guidance and maybe a little career advice. Yeah. So, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, John, I'm excited to see what kind of stuff you guys have to say about my resume.
we'll get to your resume in a little bit. But first, we want to learn more about kind of what kind of goals do you have? Where do you see yourself? Where do you want to go? And I'll let John kind of take this section.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like you said, I know you want, you know, just when I get out, they pull me back in, right? We want you back in security. But where do you feel like, where do you like lean toward? Do you lean toward, I like going back to a SOC analyst type thing or just security in general? And then we'll kind of backtrack from there. Is there anything specific that you're leaning toward now since you've got that experience at least before?
Yeah, I think stock analyst is what I'm kind of looking at right now, just because I have experience with it, and it would be the easiest thing to get. I'm really still trying to figure out what kind of path I want to go down. Red Team has always seemed really attractive to me, but I don't know if that's just because it's cool or if it's because I'd actually like it. So part of me wants to give Red Team a try because I feel like that's the only way I'll know. So I've kind of been thinking about getting the CEH or some sort of OS. Okay. Some sort of OSCP or OSCP or something like that. And then trying to get like an entry level Red Team position and see how that feels. But I'm actually kind of overwhelmed when I look at the path options. Do I want to become, like get a CISSP and become some sort of manager position? Do I want to become a security engineer? What does that even mean? What is the difference between a manager and an engineer? I guess Blue Team is definitely what I'm looking at in the short term. And from there, I don't know. It's cloudy awesome. For me.
No, that's really good because that's the way most people are, thinking about this and looking at it is like, hey, I need to get my foot in the door. You gotta get your foot back in the door. Mm-hmm. But from that, like there's so many options. Where do I lean toward? Red Team, offensive security is always cool. For sure. It's really tough to get into that as an entry level job, right? Not saying impossible, but it's tough. But I think that I think it would be, in my advice of this would be, yes, I think looking at this, the analyst type jobs is good. And then exploring from there of the, do I go the engineering route? What does it look like as a manager? How can I dabble in offensive security? I do think certifications is a good help to give you some of that experience of like, oh, this is cool. I really like this. No matter what, in my opinion, this is my opinion. Some people don't agree with me. I think it's really good for you to have offense and defensive skill sets and experience.
Yeah.
Because for me, that has really helped tremendously. When there's something happening or there's a vulnerability, I can put my attacker hat on and think, how would I attack this? How would a bad guy attack this? Right. That informs my defensive skills of like, oh, I need to think about this, this, and this. So some people were like, no, you need to go hardcore. If you want to be the best in the world at this thing and be offensive. That's all you do. It's all you dream, sleep, offensive. Same thing for defense. But I think there's a gap there if you do that between the two of you will miss things as a defender because you don't think like an attacker. You might think you do, but if you don't actually do have those skills and have actually broken into things, then you miss out on something. So I think it's actually great, in my opinion, to be more well-rounded to do both. And you've got some of that already, you know, and you just need to level up those skills again on the defensive side and can get more experience again. But the skills are fundamental, right? There's more of the tools, right? Like, okay, maybe you haven't used this tool, but really at the end of the day, it's just learning the tool. And the way I look at it is if I bring you on and I know you're solid, your character's solid, you've got integrity, you're getting after it, you're hungry to learn, you're hungry to get into this. Can I teach you the tool? Absolutely. You're going to learn it because you're going to do it every day, right? So me personally, because you don't know X tool does not exclude you from being interviewed at least to find out more, right? But I think you have enough experience that you should not have to go back to IT unless you want to level up some of that IT experience. It's not a bad thing to do if it's also like maybe right now, depending on the job market, if you're having trouble, get a job in IT, maybe not the same level that you had before. If you can get up a little bit, like maybe some server administration, some application administration, some database stuff,
networking,
networking, some of that stuff, right? That's okay, because that's just going to make you better, right? And then again, try to weave in security if you can while you're leveling up your skills, certificates, things like that. Yeah, by the way, CEH, I don't like CEH, but yeah, me and Steve don't like CEH. But we can give you options, right? Yes. The TCM stuff, I think they're really good. The offensive security track that they have is good. I've gone through their class stuff, and I think it's hands-on, right? It's a lot of hands-on experience, so I really promote that. The offensive security OSCP is really good still. It's kind of still like the bar setting of like you got your OSCP, then now you're going to open up doors, which I think is still true, even though things have changed a little bit. So that would be my advice from just like your goals is keep exploring. Talk to people about like us of like, hey, what does a security engineer do? Talk to some security engineers, right? Talk to some managers, which again, you know, we could tell you, hey, this is our experience. Talk to some offensive security people. We know a few of those, right? We know one guy in particular that you could talk to and say, hey, you know, what is it like on the other side? I think all of them will say they love it. But there's some downsides too. There are definitely some downsides. But yeah, that would be like how to manage your next steps, in my opinion, of getting your foot back in the door of doing like you're doing, looking at this security analyst positions. It doesn't necessarily have to be a SOC. It could just be a security analyst doing things in security. There are other positions that are out there that are like that. And then from there, seeing what your feedback is and what skills they're looking for. If you're looking at the positions and it's like, you need to do this, this, and this. Well, maybe that's what you need to kind of work on a little bit. Go do some Splunk stuff. Go do some Microsoft training. Go do some cloud training. See what those positions are looking for to level up. Steve, anything to add to that?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a lot of good stuff, Sean. I completely agree with everything. I guess just to add to that was, are there any companies that you are looking to, that you would like to work for or like to work with, or are you pretty open to, hey, I'm more focused on kind of the role, the title, the position, it being remote? I mean, do you want remote? Do you want hybrid? Are you looking for something local in your area? What are some of those answers?
Yeah. I mentioned I like the university setting. And so that was kind of my first thought, was look at the local universities, try and get involved with them somehow. From my searching, none of them really had any open security positions or really any IT positions. I've kind of been keeping an eye out, but nothing yet. But besides university, I think I would avoid some of the big companies. I don't think I'd really want to work for like Microsoft or anyone at that scale. But besides that, it seems like there's a ton of remote positions, just random security analyst remote positions. At least that's what I'm mostly seeing on LinkedIn or Indeed. But I'm not sure how realistic it is to try and get those positions, because like on LinkedIn, I can see how many people are applying and some of them have 1500 applicants or something like that. So I sometimes feel like I'm just wasting my time even applying to those.
No, not at all. Listen, LinkedIn is now a business, okay? They're trying to show you, oh, this is how many people are on LinkedIn and are seeing this job posting. I'm not saying that 15,000 people didn't apply to that position, but I'm just saying you have to kind of, you shouldn't let that affect whether or not you throw your hat into the pile, right? And look, honestly, John and I have been hiring people here recently, and it's just mind blowing how people just don't know how to sell themselves. They may have all these certifications, all this experience, but they can't put that on a piece of paper, at least, or even in the actual interview, just talk about themselves and their experience in a way where they are selling what they have to bring to the potential employer. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of pie left. So don't feel like, oh, you know, so many people have applied to that, I'm not going to have a shot. Not at all. you should still apply because you never know. It could, the hiring manager could be a Clemson alumni. Sees you're from Clemson. Like, oh, hey, let's get Grant up to the pile up here. Let's get another Tiger in here. You never know, right? You never know. Or any other connection that someone can make just based off looking at your resume. So, yeah, definitely. Awesome.
Yeah, and one note on that real quick. Just I would reach out to those universities to, if they have a security department, to say, hey, you know, I'm eager and interested. And if you, I see you don't have a position available now, but I have worked at a university before in their security department. And if you ever have anything come up, I would love to have a conversation or just offer to have a conversation. I see you don't have anything now, but I'd love to just chat with you about future opportunities. Man, that because you have been at a university, working at a university, that opens everybody's eyes. It, you know, oh, this person knows what the experience is like at a university. And sometimes they'll make positions up. So that's another thing too, for real. Yeah.
Or if they have somebody on their team that they're just like waiting to show them the door, and then they're like afraid that they may not be able to find somebody to do what they are doing, right? Because they're already running on a skeleton crew. And then here comes Mr. Grant, that smile, that beard, that hair, and says, hey, I can do everything this person can do even better. Then he might be like, you know what? Let's pull the trigger. Now, I'm not saying people should go fire people, but things happen, right? But it's all about choices and opportunity. So, yeah, like John said, like John always says, networking is king. Hmm. So even if you just go and introduce yourself to these CISOs or managers or whatever within the university community there where you are, that'll say a lot about you too because you're taking the initiative. You're not just waiting on things to fall on your lap. So that's good.
Yep, absolutely. So let's jump, because we don't have a lot of time, into the resume review. This is the most exciting part. I'm very excited to see what Steve has crafted for Grant.
Yeah, so I'm going to share my screen here. Let's make sure I get everything going here. All right. Can you guys see my screen?
Yes.
Should I make it a little bit bigger, or are we good? I guess it doesn't
matter. Maybe we'll zoom in a little bit. For Grant.
All right. So this is, so Grant was gracious enough to allow us to use his resume here on the podcast. And if you can't see it, go to our YouTube channel. You can see it there. But Grant, I mean, at first glance, you know, you got your name, your information, a professional summary, you have your education, some certifications that you have, you're listing some of the skills, you go down to employment, history, and everything you've done, and that's it. It's one page. So that's good. First of all, one page, great. You're focusing on the security and IT experience that you have when you're posting your positions. I'm not seeing, you know, bag boy or any of those, you know, jobs you might have had before. So that's good. You're showing your certifications, which are good certifications to have. And you're listing some skills. Now, this is not bad, Grant. This is not bad, but I have some suggestions. So we're going to scroll down here. All right. So you will see a couple different colors. And I've taken the liberty to reword a couple things for you, right? Because the biggest thing that you want to do with your resume is first impression. The first impression is everything. So if your resume is on point and you are selling yourself, you are telling people what you can do and what you've done, that is going to help you tremendously. So first of all, you have to have a LinkedIn profile, and you have to add your LinkedIn profile URL into your resume, preferably here at the top where you're talking about yourself, your address, your email, your phone number. Now for the summary, you got to start off strong with an active statement. So you started off with, I am experienced in many types of blah, 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 blah. No. So you want to kind of shorten that up, and you want to say, I am an experienced cybersecurity professional with a strong foundation in programming, help to support security operations and network operations. So it's just, you are coming in with a bang, basically. And it just looks and sounds better, more professional. You're coming, if we keep scrolling down. So What I have here is some suggestions on different ways to describe what you have done for each position. I think what you have there is great. It's short to the point, but we are trying to sell yourself, right? We're trying to sell you, and we're in a way we are trying to use the resume for you to showcase everything that you have done to reduce the potential uneasiness that a employer may have because of your long gap. All right. So that's what we have in mind. So we want to, you know, go a little bit extra on the specific things that you have done to kind of ease that unsureness of, oh, well, maybe Grant's been out of the game for a little too long. Now, I have two different options here, and I personally like option two. So you had a list of skills. In order to continue to keep this as a one pager, we want to repurpose those skills. So in option one, it's very general. We talk about, you know, enhancing SIM operations. We talk about EDR tool. We talk about a vulnerability scanner or vulnerability scans. We don't specifically name drop. In option two, we do. And when you are submitting your resume to any sort of company, some of them have specific phases that they have to go through. And it's not until, you know, phase two or three that an actual human being will see the resume. So it's all computerized, it's all automated. So keywords play a part. That's why option two for me is my favorite, because especially if you're looking at a position description that specifically names out Splunk, Microsoft Defender, Nessus, or Tenable, and you have experience with those, you want to make sure that you say that. So for example, here, option one, we're talking about a SIM. Well, in option two, the first sentence here, we're also talking about a SIM, but we specifically say which SIM you used. So now if this resume is going through an automated process for phase one, phase two, and they are looking for somebody not only with SIM experience, but we're looking for specifically for Splunk, then you already are going to, they're going to move you up to phase two of the resume, of the process. Questions, comments, John, any add-ons?
Go ahead, Grant.
Oh, no, that sounds great. And you think it's better to combine it instead of having the skills separate? That, I guess that's something I'd kind of seen people doing online, and I was like, okay, I'll add a skill section.
Yeah, and I'll tell you. So if you can add, so when you listed your skills, we can scroll up. You basically have incident response, log analysis, vulnerability management, Linux tools, SIM, EDR, problem solving. If you can, I mean, these are. If you can work these, which is what I was trying to do, into the description of what you have done, I mean, you're already saying here that you work with a SIM. You're already saying here you are working with an EDR tool. So why put it in twice? There's just waste of space. You've already made the point that you have used these tools and or are using these tools. And by talking about them in the description of each position that you've had and what you've done, you're giving them a little bit more than just name dropping, than just keywords on a piece of paper, right? They have no sustenance. They're just there. But now you're saying, I have said that I've worked with a SIM. Well, this is what I've done with a SIM or EDR tool. You know, just examples.
Yep. I think Steve is spot on. Looks great.
Sweet.
So we'll keep coming down here. So for the second one, again, I thought you did a good job just telling us what you did. Again, I think it's best for us to maybe go a little bit more into detail onto what you have done, right? Than just kind of a one-liner. But here, and then we can keep going here. Same thing with the intern position. Now, I kind of changed things up. So because you already have cybersecurity experience, you should have your name, your summary, and then go straight into employment history. and talk about what you have done, because you have worked in IT roles and in cybersecurity roles. So that's the first thing that you want to put up front. If you were somebody that was coming in with zero experience, just finished doing some training or just got some certifications, then I would recommend that you lead with your education and your certs. But because you already have been in cybersecurity for a while, that's what I want you to start with, right? Because that is what I'm basically going to see your name. I'm going to read a little bit about what you say you can do. And then boom, I'm going to go straight into the meat and potatoes, which is the most important part. So then we continue. So then we have education and then we have certifications. Now the stuff highlighted here in blue, this is not for you, but this is for somebody who maybe has had zero cybersecurity experience and you're trying to sell yourself solely on your certifications and the training that you have done, right? You want to list out some of the skills that were covered in those certifications. And I just kind of did this here. But again, this is not for you, Grant. This would be for somebody who doesn't have any security experience. Coming down, this is kind of some of the skills that you had. Again, if you were going to, if you had enough room, again, if you were not able to list everything out in your description and you still had a couple of things that you wanted to list out, this is how I would do it. I would do technical. I would do soft skills. Soft skills are important, and you would be surprised how much they can stand out in a resume if specific employees are used to getting the same stereotypical IT security, black hood, dark cave type of person, right? Introverts. But this is how I would list it. I would list out exactly what it is, and I would list out how you have done work with this skill. So for incident response, expert monitoring, assessing, mitigating security threats in real time, right? You have done that. Okay. Questions?
That sounds great. Are there like specific soft skills that people typically list, or things I should be aiming for? Because soft skills seems like such a wide category to me.
Yeah. So this will depend on the position description. You mentioned earlier about managing management positions and engineering positions, right? So you have to think about it this way. If you are in a management role, right, you want leadership is one of the things you want to have on there for soft skills, right? You can lead, you can manage. If you are focusing more on an engineering position, then problem solving is more what you want, right? You're an engineer. You're there to solve problems. You're more of a technical mindset. So it just kind of depends on the role. And you may even find it in those position descriptions where they may list certain things where you can say, oh, okay, they want a problem solver. They want somebody with good communication. They want somebody who can translate very technical information and simplify it to, you know, to explain it to somebody not so technical. So a lot of those position descriptions will give you hints and things of what they're looking for. And then you can just kind of take that in and then add that into your technical skills, soft skills, you know, if you need to, right? Unless you have 10 years of experience, we still want, and we still think a one page resume is the best way to go. Right? Because you have to think of a resume as like an appetizer. That's all you're giving these people. And if they want the main course, they got to call you in and you got to do your interview. And then that's when you can go into even more detail about what you've done and what you have experience with and all of that information. Comments, questions?
I would say leadership, even if it's not a job with leadership, it's not a bad thing to add it, because it shows someone trusted you with leading a team. There's a lot that goes into, hey, I was a lead, whatever, right? Yes. That shows you've stood up above the rest, even asked for some kind of leadership role. To me, that's impressive. You know, I mean, I want to ask you about that. Oh, I see you led a team, or you were the lead analyst or whatever. So I think that one is a good one, kind of, if you have any of that, even if it was not in an analyst role. Oh, I led a whatever at this job. I was the lead whatever. that to me helps it stand out.
Yeah. And just to add on to that, if you do add certain skills, have a story or something to share as to why you are saying you have that skill.
Absolutely. Right?
So for leadership, like John just said, if you were, you know, let's say you were during your internship, you know, if you were leading other interns on, you know, tasks or whatever it is, then that is something, that is an example that you can give when somebody says, oh, you've listed here leadership as a skill. Can you give us examples of when you, of how you did that or what you did or whatever? So just make sure you're prepared and you have something to talk about every single thing that you put on your resume.
Absolutely. Great. Yeah. You just got a master class on resume writing from Steve. So pay attention.
So just very quickly. So this is what, in my opinion, the final resume should look like. Oh, let me scoot that down. The one pager. So Grant, professional summary, describing your employment history, education, certifications. Boom. Done. One pager. That's it. Nice. That right there is all you need.
Cool. I've seen people that put like a picture of themselves or like pictures of the tools they're proficient in. Do you recommend any of that or just like text, all text?
So I've seen those, and those have come across my desk and John's desk. Okay. And honestly, I just find them too busy. Right. Okay. Especially ones that have all these different colors and like, all, I'm just like, I'm not hiring you because I think you can do internal design or graphic design or whatever you're trying to do. Or I'm not hiring you because of what you look like or anything like that. I'm hiring you based on what you have done and what you can do. Cause I have a problem and I'm looking for you to come in and fix it. Right. That's me as a hiring manager. Yep, it's up to you. I mean, you got a good looking face. I mean, that might get you so far, Grant. But honestly, I think to me personally, simplicity and to the point, that wins always.
Yep. Keep it simple.
Cool. I really like the point about putting the experience first. I feel like I hadn't really seen that advice online, but it makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. You've already walked the walk, my friend. You have to show that.
Highlight it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yep.
So Grant, do you have any questions, just general questions for us?
Yeah. So you kind of addressed a lot of them. I assume in like a cover letter is where I would address my time off, maybe have a little paragraph in there about what I've been up to and why I'm getting back into cybersecurity. Is that what you guys think?
You can. I think me personally, I would leave that for the in-person interview.
Okay.
You could split test it, maybe send some out that have it, some that don't, just see if you get a difference, like people aren't replying back because they see you have a gap, you know, just see. It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Cover letters are interesting. You can't get too crazy with cover letters too.
No.
You can get lost. People are like, simplicity. They want short, sweet paragraph. Mm-hmm. So just think about that.
And honestly, I mean, we'll have to do a poll or something, but I would be curious to know how many people actually read a cover letter and don't go just straight to the resume.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seriously.
Good to know.
Seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. I will skim it. I'm not going to read everything, especially if it's long. If there's something in the resume that maybe I'm missing, maybe that gap, then I might go jump over and say, hey, did they talk about this in the cover letter? Mm. But I'm definitely not reading every word.
And in my opinion, in the cover letter, I wouldn't go too into detail about your gap, right? You may mention it. You may talk about it. But I would save that for the interview. And then you have, you know, whether it's whether it's through Zoom or in person, whatever it may be, you have more time to explain. And just like you explained it to us, you do that in an interview, people are going to be like, all right, yeah.
Hey, yeah, absolutely.
This guy, respect for what he has done.
Yep.
Cool. Nice. The other thing is on a different topic. I've been hearing about the Hack the Box certification. They've got some offensive, like pen test one coming out that people are recommending over the OSCP a little bit. It's cheaper. It's like way cheaper, $300 versus $1,200 or whatever. You guys have any opinions on that?
I haven't seen that yet. And I mentioned the TCM folks, and that one is like even cheaper. So I would take a look at it and compare the two and see how the Hack the Box certification compares to this one. Mainly for me and doing the, I don't have the OSCP certification, but I did go through the training. The hands-on, right? That, how much hands-on is it giving me? What relevant stuff is it giving me to, and in the Hack the Box, I would think they would have good hands-on. So
yeah,
just kind of compare those two, maybe read some reviews. I think those are good before something offensive security, and maybe the Hack the Box might be a little unknown. So people are like, oh, I don't know anything about this. If you put this on your resume, is it good? Is it not good? But the TCM one is definitely getting more known, definitely better than CEH in my opinion.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Way better. CEH is just a dumpster fire. Yeah. So one thing I just wanted to add about the resume, Grant, remember, we want to tailor it as much as we can for each job, for each position description. So just keep that in mind when you're applying. Don't just use the same resume across the board. Try and tailor them a little bit based on what they're looking for, or maybe what tool sets they're looking for experience on, or, you know, kind of basically what they're looking for. Try and match that as much as you can.
Yep.
Good to know.
And we can help you with that. So if you want to shoot us over a couple links to positions that you're interested in, and you want to take a first crack at the resume, building it up to for that specific position, you want to shoot it over to us. We can review it, help you, and say, yeah, this looks good, or hey, maybe try this. And after you and I or we do it together, you'll get the hang of it, and then you'll be able to take off and do it yourself. But yeah, it's helpful.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds great.
Cool. Well, let's wrap this up and just kind of highlight the big things. Steve, you want to kind of go first?
Yeah, sure. So Grant, man, it's never too late to get back to cybersecurity, and I appreciate you joining us today and letting us do this live mentoring session for you and your stuff. Again, I think you have a lot of potential, my friend. I think you have a lot of experience already, and I think you should be in good shape. You know, just listen to some of the advice we shared with you today, and I think you should be in good shape.
Yeah, I completely agree. Thanks, Grant, for coming on, walking through this. This is going to be super helpful for people. They're going to go back and for them, it's very relatable, even though your path is different, but it's very relatable advice for a lot of people for sure. And I hope it's helpful for you. I think it is. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. It was great to catch up with you guys. And I learned a lot, really. This was super helpful.
Awesome. All right.
Well, it was good to see you guys. Good to chat.
You too.
Thanks for all the advice.
No problem.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
All right.
We're out.
See ya.
Hey, thanks again for listening to this episode. Just a couple of things wanted to share. One of those is that if you're listening to the podcast, audio only, on each episode, there should be above the description a link that says send us a text. And this is a cool feature that we have with through Buzzsprout that we used for the podcast, and it's really helpful, really neat how it works, because we've got a few of these messages, and I think people are sending them as if we can interact. Unfortunately, we can't. You know, it stinks because we get this as like fan mail. Imagine someone has sent a letter to us as fan mail, and they're saying, hey, thank you. Here's some feedback about the podcast. So if you send that to us, it doesn't give us your full contact information, so we can't reply back. But we do really enjoy getting these messages. So thanks for doing that. If you want to send us a message through fan mail, you just send this, click the link, and it will send it as a text message that ends up landing in our inbox. And just tell us what you think about the episode. Give us any feedback. Give us some information of what you might want to hear going forward, which would be great. One thing that you could do for us is to, if you're listening on a podcast, you know, platform, is to give us a review, hopefully a 5-star review. Hopefully this has been useful and you've appreciated what we've put out there to help others, and give us some feedback too. We really appreciate it. And that helps other folks find this podcast, you know, as it gets ranked up in the list of podcasts, as people are searching for this topic, all reviews are helpful. And if you're watching the episode on YouTube, then subscribe on YouTube helps that also. And also give us a like and leave a comment. If you can do those things, it just helps the YouTube algorithm work its magic behind the scenes that we have no idea the real magic, but it does help other people as they're searching for this kind of content come across our videos that that could be helpful for them too. So that was it. I really appreciate everybody tuning in. We're getting lots of people that are across the globe that are listening and tuning into the content. So we really, really value that. And that's it. Have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Cybersecurity Mentors Podcast.
Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you get all the episodes. Join us next time as we continue to unlock the secrets of cybersecurity mentorship.
Do you have questions or topics you'd like us to cover? Or do you want to share your journey? Join us on Discord at Cybersecurity Mentors Podcast and follow us on LinkedIn. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, I'm John Hoyt.
And I'm Steve Higuretta.
Thank you for listening.